This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Stephen Smith's body going to be exhumed. His mother raising way more than planned because, well, people want to help. And they want justice in South Carolina's Lowcountry for a young man who was murdered, even though the reports say hit and run, which that is a form of murder. But this was no hit and run. When you look at the autopsy reports and then them equating 1 + 1 = 8, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Injuries not remotely consistent with a hit and run, nor was the scene. But, you know, over there, they kind of have this trend of hiding things, brushing them under the cover, especially when it involves certain people of a certain ilk, of a certain name, prior to that certain name going down. Of course, we're talking about the Murtaughs. Do we know, were they involved in some way, shape, or form with the death of Stephen Smith? No, we don't. We're waiting to see where this investigation takes us. But I'm hoping and I'm thinking, I don't know, as a normal human being, that if you were involved in something like this, if you have a little bit of a conscience, you'd be getting a little nervous right now. Just a little bit. Although we have seen that with certain individuals in South Carolina's Lowcountry that conscience doesn't always exist. And, you know, genetics play a big role when you have kids. I think it could be argued a little bit that maybe some of the kids of a certain person maybe not have the most robust of consciences out there, but maybe just a little, I don't know, maybe a little concerned. I don't know. It all depends. It all depends. There's a lot of allegations out there. And that is exactly what they are. Innocent until proven guilty for any of the people that have been mentioned in the rumors of Stephen Smith's death. And I don't like to use the term rumor, because when there's smoke, especially with this case, there's usually fire, but we'll just have to see. Dan Crane is joining us. He is a forensic scientist and professor at Wright State University. Dan, always a pleasure to have you on here. I want to get your insight in the world of DNA with Stephen Smith's body that's going to be exhumed. What are they going to be looking for in this second round of examining the body of Stephen Smith?
Well, you know, I'm a DNA guy. Mm-hmm. So I look at things through that lens.
Sure.
And you know, I don't think it would be particularly helpful in that in this instance, but certainly it would be possible to generate a DNA profile for the deceased. Mm-hmm. From those remains. Teeth remain a very good source of DNA for a very long time after death. But there's probably a fair bit of other tissue that would also be a good source of DNA. And then beyond that, the sorts of things that that you might be able to glean would be based more on morphological sorts of things. You know, broken bones, for instance, it's possible to see if there was a strangulation by a careful examination of bones in the throat or cartilage and such. And that sort of thing can be done for, you know, many years after death as well.
What about DNA of other people on a body like this? Obviously, this is something he went in, autopsy was performed. Would there be others' DNA still on a body this far in and after having been handled by the coroner?
It is a possibility. You know, I'm thinking particularly if there has been a struggle, you might be able to get DNA from underneath fingernails. Mm-hmm. That's usually something that if at the time of death during that original autopsy, there's a suggestion that there could have been a struggle, fingernail clippings would be taken at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But if that hadn't been done, we see all the time, there's a number of studies that show that we do have a propensity as human beings to pick up the DNA of other individuals, particularly particularly under our fingernails when we've come in contact with them. And so the time isn't that much of a concern. It's the possibility that this field has already been plowed.
Okay.
Right? The fingernails may have already been clipped and they're gone. Uh-huh. Or it may be that as part of preparation of the body for burial that there's been some washing and such that's taken place.
That would be my question. I just didn't quite know how to ask it is the body like re-cleaned or cleaned, where some of those things would be removed essentially from the physical body itself? Or would it also be looked at as this body has now been contaminated because other people have touched it, where it would be very difficult to argue, that this is DNA from any sort of crime or crime scene because other people have been introduced into the piece of evidence in which this case is a body?
Well, that concern about contamination and transfer of DNA is always going to be an issue. But if, for instance, a DNA profile was found under the fingernails, again, just a hypothetical, of, for instance, if a DNA profile of somebody other than the decedent was found under their fingernails, and that DNA profile was found to be consistent with, or if you prefer, a match, the DNA of a suspect in the case.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to argue that that's the result of contamination. If you found the coroner's DNA with the fingernails, well, I suppose it might cross people's mind. Could the coroner have been involved with the original crime? But it's that's usually an unrealistic sure. thing to consider, and we have a much simpler explanation for how the coroner's DNA may have gotten there.
There's a fever going on now that Alec has been convicted to, I think, almost continue this dig into the Murdaugh family, and that's where I think a lot of this is coming from. And also because it was very sloppy work that was done when Stephen Smith was killed. His autopsy saying hit and run, even though all the evidence points to it being anything but a hit and run at the time. But everything was done very quickly. And the original attorney that jumped in and offered his services up free of charge was one of the Murtaughs. So there was so many things early on where evidence could have been gathered, but I think immediately they really wanted to push it down as a hit and run and just kind of move on with things. Is this a case where it's going to be nearly impossible, or are there possibilities? Are there roads one could go down here this many years later to find and convict someone, or did whoever kind of pushed this thing along through really play their cards right, knowing that your odds go dramatically down over time and the way that things were handled?
Well, I can say with great comfort and confidence that the passage of time does not work in any way to enhance the ability to generate some useful evidence off of Smith's body. But at the same time, certain things like fingernails or mm-hmm. broken cartilage in the neck, those sorts of things could still be quite useful and viable at this point in time, even after years have passed. So, just very candidly, mm-hmm. If I was a member of Smith's family, I would be. I'd be very happy to see no stone left unturned.
Sure. Right?
Maybe it's a 1 in 100 chance that you'll find something that would be probative or assist in an investigation. I don't see personally what the downside is to taking that 1 in 100 chance.
I think the other piece that really has not been talked about yet, and I don't know what data would still exist out there, maybe it's still there, is the digital footprint of Stephen Smith, looking into his cell phone of who was accessed, what were those text messages at that time. It seems to me that they never really, as far as we know, and there's never been anybody talking about this, took a deeper dive into that to see who those relationships were with, who he was hanging with, and maybe find some sort of possibility, suspects, motive, things of that nature, in combination with anything physical that could be found at this point in time. But that seems like it would be a very a treasure trove of information if there is to be some nefarious action going on out there.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree. I think that at some level, our digital footprint is immortal. Mm-hmm. It's just that folks like you and I may not have access to that information. But I think there are government agencies, for instance, that probably would be able to resuscitate that and look back if there was sufficient cause for them to do so.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what exists on a cloud somewhere, or if they still happen to have his device, which if they do, that would be the treasure trove. But to see what exactly the communication would be in that sort of a fashion.
Yeah, having the device certainly makes it a whole different process. That makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
The device in hand.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Dan Crane, forensic scientist and professor, president, CEO, forensic bioinformatics, and professor at Wright State University. Thank you so much for your insight. Always a pleasure to get your insight there. And if you want to get an ad-free version of the show, you can do so through Apple Podcasts. Yes, all you have to do. Go to Apple Podcasts, press subscribe on our premium channel, get access to our episodes ad-free, and binge away right now. My name's Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.